The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here, hour number two, Analyze This on a absolutely beautiful January day here in Paradise. And before I bring on Ms. Denver Benjamin from the Women's Coalition here on St. Croix, because, you know, they've had an anti-racism series, and this is the fourth and final one coming up this week. We'll get into detail with that. I just wanted to let the public know we're available on a podcast. Analyze This with Neville James. Wherever you go for your podcast, just type in Analyze This with Neville James, WTJX FM, and you can have access to it. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was talking to one of my friends on Twitter, and I told him I was on live. So I told him where to go. I told him, you know, hit tunein.com, and they went there, and they were actually listening. This was Thursday. They were actually listening to the Wednesday podcast that we had with the Department of Health. So I thought that they were listening to me live, but they told me, no, I'm listening to the Wednesday podcast because I want to get all that COVID information that you guys got down there. I want to come down for vacation. It sounds good. So wherever you go for your podcast, right, just type it in the search, Analyze This with Neville James, and you access the podcast. Now, you know, we going to continue to evolve and make it smooth, and we do what we got to do. And today's discussion obviously is going, you know, going to be a good one to listen to, because what we're dealing with here, according to Dewey Henry, is not limited to the Virgin Islands. You know, a lot of people are going to go where they can get the vaccine for those who want the vaccine. And that's a big issue right now as we continue to see the numbers heading in the direction that we want them to head into. But in between time and in the meantime, we walk and chew gum at the same time, and the Women's Coalition of St. Croix is asking us in this COVID window that we're living in to not, ignore some of the realities that we're dealing with. So the Anti-Racism Forum, I think it's going to be held on Thursday the 11th or Friday the 12th. Deborah Benjamin, good morning.
Good morning, Neville. Yes, it's on Thursday the 11th at 6 p.m., and it is a Zoom event.
A Zoom event. How are you? How's everything? Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice as well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
How is WCSTX doing?
WCSTX is busy, as always. I have here with me Clemma Lewis.
Clemma.
Director.
Hi.
Morning, Clemma. How are you?
Morning.
Good to hear your voice. And who else, Ms. Benjamin?
Carolyn Forno, Assistant Director.
Yeah, Carolyn Forno. She's one of us now. Morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good morning, Neville. Thank you for saying so. I appreciate that.
You got it. Where Lisa there?
You know she's here.
I know. Lisa is missing out at all. I know that. Lisa Moorhead. How are you?
You can't get rid of me, Neville. No. I left the legislature, and here we are.
Even if I tried, it wasn't going to happen. Good to hear. We got the four horse ladies, not the four horsemen. We got the four horse ladies this morning, so I like this. this is good. So before we get to Thursday's final forum, somebody give me a review of how it's gone, because I believe it started in November. And it was this November, December, January. In particular, January was a little different. We actually pushed it to the actual birthday of Martin Luther King, and now this is the fourth one. So somebody give me a review. How has it gone so far as relates to attendance and interest levels?
Okay, I'll start off, Neville. This is Clemma. It's been going really well. We've been keeping really good numbers. The community has been engaged. You know, we started off with the definitions. Then we moved into class and myths, and the last one we did was really cool. People loved it. We did the cultural and the historical perspective of racism in the VI, and that was really heavy duty. And then our last one, not the end of what the work, but the last forum is a call to action and kind of where do we go from here. So we're really excited. we're hoping that people really come out. If they missed, Debbie will talk about if they miss what they can do. But I'm hoping that people will really join and continue to follow and be a part of this movement to make a change. Nothing is changing up above us in the mainland, so nothing is going to change here. But this last session is about the community. It's about the community coming together and saying, where do we go from here? What do we need to do? What are the steps so we can move forward? So we are so excited about that. Everybody going to have a voice. It's open, and it's very exciting.
Awesome. Now, the last forum, Lisa Moorhead, was the Martin Luther King. What was that? What was that one? What was the title for that one again?
Well, it was a historical and cultural perspective of racism, you know, from back in the day to present in the Virgin Islands. And we had speakers who addressed it from their perspective or their profession. For instance, we had your sister on there, and she talked about it from her experiences in the National Guard and here, living here versus living in the U.S. mainland when she was in school. And also we had Dr. Chen, who talked about, you know, everything from the diaspora coming forward. So it was varied, but people were very engaged. Once again, the breakout rooms that we had were very lively because that's where people had a chance to react to what we were putting out there. Because, again, from the beginning, we said we didn't want to be teachy or preachy. What we just wanted people to realize is that we are one race, we are one family, one community, and action is needed always if there's ever going to be any change. We can't sit back and just vent. We have to, we can talk and we can continue the discussion, and it will be continued cyclically probably for decades. But if we put some action behind our words, we can move it along. And that's what this whole next session is about. As Clemma said, trying to get some collective community action where everybody can make a contribution. So we're hoping people tune in and offer their ideas. We have gotten responses to surveys where we have a clear indication that people want this work to continue. Mm-hmm. So as Clemma said, mm-hmm. it's the end and the beginning at the same time. The end of this series, but we're going to take a little break and come back with some concerted action based on people's responses to different things, whether it's policy change or setting up some kind of educational component. So it's exciting. It's exhilarating. I feel renewed, and I think everybody has learned something from this. Mm-hmm. So it's been a colossal success, and we're going to keep it rolling.
Well, you know, one of the things I liked about this discussion, because we've been having it now for like 4 months, is Ms. Forno, right? When the very first discussion we had on Ms. Forno said, look, I may be white, but I live here now. I is one of we. And my children them born here, so this is one of we. So, Carolyn, you have a role to play. You gonna keep my people, them, Deborah and Lisa and Clemmer, in check to let them know this thing is real, and we don't just plan to have forums and let it die. We're going to continue making sure that the conscious levels are where they need to be. Right, Ms. Forno?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about keeping my colleagues here in check, but I will say that this is about white supremacy, though. And so I think we need to frame it that way, and we need to acknowledge that white supremacy is alive and well in the Virgin Islands as well as it is alive and well in the United States. And we have to call it what it is. We have to have uncomfortable conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more about me keeping my fellow white people in check.
Ah!
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting.
Yes, but, I hope you heard that.
I learned my lesson. That's what she was saying. when we were smiling, Lisa said, I hope you learn your lesson. I learned my lesson. So I'm good with that regard. But here's the deal, right? I'm glad we're having this discussion, right? Ms. Benjamin, the information, the addresses and all that stuff and times and all that, can you repeat that for tomorrow as well? I mean, for Thursday?
Yes, certainly. It's on a Thursday, February 11th. It is at 6 p.m. It is a Zoom event. We ask that people register. To do that, they would go to our website, WC, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, X as in X-ray.org. Right on the homepage, there is a link, a button for you to click on that will take you right to the registration form. If you have attended previous events, previous sessions, then you don't need to register again.
Oh, okay. One lick kill dick, like we just say. Once you register before you go to go. That's a good thing.
Exactly.
No, Clemma, this problem with Marjorie Greene, it has to have bothered you, right? To know that a person's elected to Congress, which is a federal office, not a local office. You may be representing your district. In her case, it's a northwestern district in the state of Georgia. You are now a federal House of Representatives member, which means you're representing the entire nation.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Marjorie Greene still feel the need to want to impose her beliefs at a time when we're a polarized nation. We really got a long way to go, Clemma Lewis.
Tell me about it. We really have a long way. You talking about Marjorie Greene with her racist rhetoric, white supremacist crap, falling along with Trump. All she doing is puppeteering and doing everything Trump putting up to. But Neville, let's think about it. When we talk about politics, there's no way we can do this work and make a change without having politicians. So speaking of politicians, ain't none of our local politicians on board yet with us. We haven't had any of them at the forums. I'm hoping that they're going to come to the last one so they can see what the community is asking for, because at some point we got to make some policy changes, Neville, and we're going to need senators like you when you were in there. We're going to need them to step up and help us put policies that's going to make a difference in our community. So Green is crazy. And she up there. Thank God she's not down here, but she's up there. But our senators, I'm so glad you brought up the political piece, because ours need to step up. We got 15. A lot of them new, but we ain't heard from none of them. And I know they know what we doing because it's out there. You know this ain't no secret, Neville. I'm sure a lot of them listen to your program because a lot of them are your former colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they get involved.
I gonna see to it that at least three or four of them gonna be on Thursday. If not for the entire thing, at least some part. Guaranteed. I gonna reach out to them myself to let them know, look, step up and be a part of the process.
Thank you, Neville. And if they do or don't, I'm gonna call you and let you know.
Yeah, you do that. You do that, because I gonna let them know, look, I put my neck out on the limb for you, so I make sure I call me for Doc Sass Thursday night.
I don't want Clemma telling me nothing.
Hey, Lisa, Clemma got it. Cruzan Yankee Twang.
Mix up
real good, and I like that. Now here's the deal, right? On a serious note, though, after yes. we've done the four forums, isn't it incumbent on us to continue to be vigilant as it relates to research and looking at areas that we could actually have impact? We just can't have forums and then sit down. We got to keep digging and doing what we can do and studying us as a people, because it's a socioeconomic issue we're dealing with. This isn't just a race issue. This is financial issue as well. Right, Lisa?
Oh, yes, it's definitely financial. I've always said racism is about power. It's about attaining power or retaining power, and power in a capitalist society equates with money. And, you know, that's the issue. I mean, people want to keep other people down so they can stay up, and staying up, unfortunately, in our society doesn't mean caring for, you know, our loved ones necessarily. To some extent, yes, but it more means taking care of ourselves only and making sure that nobody threatens that wealth or gets, you know, becomes a competitor of ours. So, yes, it's definitely about wealth. But it's about a lot of other things, too, because I think what we've learned, at least let me speak for myself in this thing, that in the...
What are we going to do, right? Let me chime in here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to incorporate education into the process, because it's very, very important what we're dealing with here. Given the time frame that we're going through, the George Floyd murder back on Memorial Day, the situation with Jacob Blake up in Kenosha. We had the Breonna Taylor issue in Kentucky back in March. Ahmaud Arbery back in February. Number of different issues. And the education has to play a part in this process if we're going to actually look at some type of permanent fix of this particular sensitive matter. Analyze this with the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. The Anti-Racism Forum happens on Thursday. We'll be back right after this.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
A lot can happen in a week, and chances are you missed a great episode of Fresh Air. Fresh Air Weekend brings you the best interviews from your favorite writers, actors, musicians, and more. Catch the highlights of the week tailored for Saturday and Sunday. Join us for the next Fresh Air Weekend.
Fresh Air Weekend, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There's a new live jazz experience on public radio, Jazz Night in America. Exclusive concerts from around the country, conversations with artists, and video webcasts that give you the backstage pass. I'm Christian McBride. Join me right here on this station for Jazz Night in America.
Jazz Night in America, Fridays at 9 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here to analyze this. And of course, you know, we got that nice, sensitive topic of racism that we're talking about with the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. And sometimes you need to feel uncomfortable. You need to have that conversation to get people to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable, if you know what I mean. And we got Deborah Benjamin.
Hi.
She is the communications coordinator for the Women's Coalition of St. Croix, Carolyn Forno. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Lisa Moorhead, attorney Lisa Moorhead. Can't get away from Lisa. We worked together for a good 12 years. That's my homegirl from Baltimore, but she's a Crucial now. She can't go away. Lock in. From via New Jersey, right? Originally?
New Jersey, D.C., Baltimore. East Coast girl.
East Coast, Northeast Corridor girl. And of course, Clemma, who ain't afraid nobody. Clemma Lewis. What's up, Clemma? Good to hear your voice again.
Hi. Morning, Neville. Morning.
Good. Don't send out threats to my senatorial friend them, so I got to protect them. You know what I mean? Take it easy. Take it easy, Clemma. I'm going to protect them. Now, check this out. I wanted to talk about education. And I'll go here with Lisa Moorhead. Right? Lisa, February 21st, 1965, Malcolm X was assassinated, right? One of the things that he wanted to promote, right, was that the situation with black people in the 60s wasn't just a civil rights issue. It was a human rights issue because they were treating black people not just as second and third level citizens, but they were treating them like animals.
Right.
And that was because a lot of them really, they weren't educated enough to know, look, what's going on here? This is, you don't do that to people. It isn't just a color issue. You don't do that to human beings. So how, speak about the importance of educating a population with respect to treating your fellow man and woman with love and care, irrespective of color.
Education, I think there may be three levels of it. One is personal education.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand yourself initially before you can get to anybody else. So anything that, you know, it could be that you have internalized racism yourself, and mm-hmm. as a result, you don't know your own value.
Mm-hmm.
Until you know your own value, and that, then education comes in on another level. in terms of learning your history. Mm-hmm. Once you know your history, one of the problems I see in the Virgin Islands and throughout the educational system in the United States is Black people don't exist before they were slaves. Pick up any school book and you're not going to see anything. Well, you might. I'm speaking from past experience. My children are old as dirt now, too. So, but still, there hasn't been much change over, literally, over 40-plus years in textbooks. Mm-hmm. Once you talk about Black people, once they're on boats coming to America, and you're not even really talking about them as coming over on boats and the mistreatment that they received there. What you're talking about is them as laborers. And you would think that, you know, some of the depictions of cotton plantations was it was a nice, wonderful place where Black people were singing in the field. I mean, you know, we have to learn our real history. That comes from personal responsibility with respect to educating yourself on one level and ensuring that your institutions educate you correctly and tell us the real history. And if education, and so that goes for not only Blacks and brown people, but white children as well. White children have no reason to respect people that were slaves only. I mean, because they're still looked at as, you know, a workforce, something that they benefit from, somebody who's lesser than them in some situations. There are plenty of poor white folks, but those poor white folks are being used by the wealthy racists to perpetuate racism, to keep the divide alive, so we can't come together and educate ourselves. But we really have to look at our institutions, and that's where the legislature may come in, lobbying efforts mm-hmm. may come in. You know, when we continue this work, we have to really look at things that may need to be changed. And it could be something as simple as our textbooks and start from there. Teaching civics in school, getting more people in the community involved in community schooling, after-school programs, things like that that, you know, worked wonderfully in the past. Those kind of things. We are responsible for each other. You're responsible for your family. Your community is your family.
And Ms. Forno, you mentioned this the very first conversation we had. Your children in Banya, right?
That's right.
And you were speaking of the sensitivity, the high level of the need for sensitivity, because your situation is that you're white. And we have you have white children here in the territory in a predominantly black community, and they don't know about color. It's a colorless thing for them. So we got to love everybody. That's what you were saying.
Well, I mean, color is. I don't think we can say that anybody is colorblind. I think that's, you know, we see color. Even they do studies that even as young as like 3 and 6 months recognize color.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that is we have to talk about it. We have to acknowledge it, and we have mm-hmm. to do the kind of education that Lisa is talking about. So having accurate depictions in history books and having some real civic classes and VI history taught throughout schools, whether it's public or private school, is an absolute necessity for all children to know what community they're living in and what their history is.
Oh, we will.
So, that's where I'm coming from with my children. I try to expose them. You know, they are born and raised here, and it's important for them to know the Virgin Islands history as well.
Now, Ms. Benjamin, as a communications coordinator, February is Black History Month, and March is VI Black History Month, but we actually get 2 bites at the apple because it's Black History Month in the Virgin Islands as well in February. So isn't it important that we take advantage of this opportunity to promote the proud and recognize Black people who stepped up to provide leadership, not necessarily elected leadership, but leadership on multiple levels here in the Virgin Islands to allow for a comfortable terrain, for the lack of a better term?
Yes, it's very important to recognize those leaders, community leaders, mentors, cultural standard bearers, all of the people who make and remind us that our history is important. I think it's also important, just as Carolyn and Lisa said, that we know that history, you know, that we bring those people in to explain, to show us, you know, what we have to be proud of and why we need to be proud, and also the mistakes that were made, you know, that we don't want to repeat, you know. If you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it, you know. That's, mm-hmm. that's a thing that's as real as it can get. And, yeah, you know, so I really feel as though, to bring it back to the forum, these are the things that we have to have in the conversation. These are the action-oriented steps that we would be planning. You know, how do we bring that cultural piece in? How do we bring that educational piece and the cultural piece together so that people are educated on Virgin Islands history and can use what we know to dismantle racism?
No, Clemma, I come into you with this topic. I am getting sick and tired every morning listening to the news and hearing of domestic situations happening on a regular basis. It is ridiculous now. And we're going to tie it with education, because one of the local laws that we have is once you get involved in a domestic issue, ain't supposed to got no bail available for you, right? But we're hearing of way too many domestic disputes taking place here in the Virgin Islands now, Clemmer. What's going on, man?
You are absolutely right. The domestic violence and the sexual assault rates are up in the territory. And, Neville, back to our topic about classism and myths. Based on who you are, you get bail, even though the law says you're not supposed to get bail. I know perpetrators who've gotten bail because they were able to call certain judges or do what they needed to do to get out, or they were connected to someone. But it still goes back to what we're talking about, our history. This internalized prejudice, we don't love ourselves. So if I don't
exactly.
love myself, then I don't care about hurting my woman, my child, my mother, and my father, because the domestic violence is right now is all through the families. It's just not partners, but family members are attacking each other, hurting each other, and we got to be clear about we got to put a stop to that. It's too much violence in a community this small. But again, it goes back to the work we're doing now. We don't know our history. We don't know who we are. If we don't value ourselves as people, then we don't value anybody else.
No, and dovetailing on that, Clemmer, we really got to get to the young people then. We really got to get to them and get them to understand our history so they can have a better appreciation and love for one another, so that the potential for domestic incidents happen. I'm sorry to say it. We don't want them to happen. You know, people argue all the time, but to get to the point where we're physically harming each other, and not only that, you're compromising your earning potential by getting yourself incarcerated. I mean, we really got to get to our young people early on to let them know, look, if you got a dispute, walk away. Do not get involved in any physical confrontation.
Correct. And the good thing is the Virgin Islands Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Council, they go all the way. They go into the schools. They do presentations. They try to teach them about conflict resolution. And we do it as well. So this is not something we left out. We reach out. We even doing presentations on Zoom. But I think it's important, Neville, for everybody to hear. Domestic violence starts at home and who we are and role modeling. Those children gonna act out the behavior they see. Whoever's in front of them, it's a learned behavior that's passed from one generation to the next until somebody in that family step up and say, no, you ain't gonna be beating another woman. My child is not gonna take another blow. It's gonna continue. So we can talk to children outside in school all we want, but if we don't get in them homes and clean up them homes, it's going to continue. And to me, that's where the problem starts, right there at home.
Now, I'm going to ask all of you ladies, because this is personal for you ladies. I'm going to ask each of you, I'm going to give each of you a minute. I'm going to put the clock on. What's it like knowing that our vice president is a black woman, starting with Ms. Benjamin?
Neville, I can't even tell you.
Don't start crying on my show now, you know.
I'm going to try not to.
Okay. No, you know something? Cry, because that's a real emotion. I have no problem with that. But what's it like knowing when you look at TV and you see that our vice president's a black woman, and in some instances, as president of the U.S. Senate, she's the tie-breaking vote like she was last week? Has to be a good feeling.
It is beyond a good feeling. It's pride, and she has Caribbean roots.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Asian roots.
Mm-hmm.
She is the whole package. and she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
And she is gracious. She is unafraid, and she is unequivocally I don't even have the words.
Man, you were good. You've been good. You ain't got to say nothing else. You've been good. Ms. Forno, what's it like seeing a lady calling shots, man? Because that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, she's a shot caller.
Yeah.
Fierce. But also what I love also seeing is little girls looking at this and looking up and saying, this could be me someday.
Mm-hmm.
Representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we have a woman, a black woman, as a vice president, all of a sudden it opens up all these possibilities for little girls. And so they're looking at this and they're taking stock of what their future could be, and it opens up these opportunities. So I love seeing that. I love seeing little girls excited about Kamala being in office.
Now, Lisa Moorhead, two of you come from the same background. You and Vice President Harris, that legal background.
Yeah.
So that's another level of appreciation, I'm sure, that you have to.
Yeah, but we're related.
Yeah. Harris, that's right. Yeah.
No, but, I'm going to echo what Carolyn just said. I have two granddaughters, first of whom only knew a black president until the former president.
Mm-hmm.
She was as dismayed as anyone else when that came into office. Now, the youngest one, was born into 45's presidency, and now just at 3 years old is seeing somebody who looks like her as a vice president. And, they both are in a very socially conscious home, so, they already think that, they're already making good trouble.
I like that. I like that. And Clement, you're our crucial Yankee. You and Lisa is our crucial Yankee. Them, and you heard Miss Benjamin speak about the total package, that Vice President Harris is has to be a proud feeling for you.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her, and I have to ditto the previous two colleagues. I have granddaughter and one on the way. I already bought her a Kamala doll. I already bought that doll because I want her to look up for the stars. And like Kamala, the vice president said when she spoke, I'm not going to be the last woman here. And that said speaks volumes that she's not just looking at herself as breaking the benchmark, but saying, I'm opening the doors. The doors are opening for me, so I'm opening the doors for other women. Of course, I'm also proud that she's a Greek. I'm a Delta. She's an AKA, but I'm still proud.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of my sorority sisters. It's just so much to see her up there, and I'm so hopeful for what the future brings after the last 4 years of being depressed. And then the dump, I'm like so excited about what the future holds. And it's time for America to see what a woman can do. Well, Neville, check that.
I have no problem with that. I mean, we're late. We're late to the dance.
Yes, totally.
How many countries globally have had lady leadership? You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, in Guyana, right, there was the prime minister of Guyana, he was married to a white lady from Illinois, Jagan, I think her last name was, right? And when he died, she became the prime minister of Guyana, Janet Jagan, I think her name was. So we've been late. We've been late. And I'm glad that we've decided, look, enough with the barriers. We are not in the gender business. We're in the leadership business. That's pretty much what we're saying.
That's right. And
that's what we need. When we come back, right, I'm gonna bring it down. Since you young ladies reference your granddaughters and all that stuff, we're going to talk a little bit about Amanda Gorman. That's her name, right? That's the youth poet laureate. And how when she speaks, everything she says just resonates and gets traction early on. And how they've incorporated the importance of young women having voices that could impact the entire landscape. And of course, I heard her again Sunday night at the Super Bowl. They referenced her as well. So she's making serious headways. Analyze this. Lovely Tuesday here in Paradise. We got the four horse ladies calling shots from the Women's Coalition. We'll be back right after this.
Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA. You have so much information at your fingertips. Don't you sometimes feel overwhelmed by it all? Here at Latino USA, we know that your time is valuable, which is why our team prides itself on producing original stories that you won't hear anywhere else. Check us out and share us with your friends and family. Thanks for listening.
Latino USA, Saturdays at 6 a.m. and again at 4 p.m. on WTJX 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hours ago, halfway around the world, the day has already begun.
Tens of thousands of people in Venezuela.
Britain is leaving the European Union.
Everyone was just running. People were crying. They were in tears. And we didn't know what was happening. Police kept telling us to move back, move back.
The thousands of protesters marched along a route.
When you need to know where the world went while you weren't looking, Morning Edition. Listen every morning.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 6 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On Point represents democracy in action every day with the sharpest guests and the sharpest listener calls. Our audiences often know as much as we do, connecting us in ways you won't find anywhere else. I'm David Folkenflik. Hear what you don't always see. Join Meghna Chakrabarty and me for the next On Point.
On Point, weekdays at 11 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back with the leadership from the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. We got Clemma Lewis, Lisa Moorhead, Carolyn Forno, and Deborah Benjamin. They're calling shots this morning, and we yield in to Lady Power, as they call the shots. We're talking about Amanda Gorman. She's an American poet and activist. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about her, Clemma, is that you could tell that literacy is not a problem with her. And you know, for those who have listened to me, you know, I've been on here for about 10 months. I've been very, very open about it, very candid. We have a literacy problem here in the Virgin Islands, and I think until we address that problem, we're not taking the strides that we need to take to really evolve as a people. Speak about how the importance of education, literacy, and the ability to articulate and communicate.
And you are so on time. When I heard her for the first time at the president inauguration, I think water came to my eyes because, again, I have a young granddaughter. I got one on the way, and it just made me so proud to see this young black woman articulate. She put everything into one speech, and it was amazing. But Neville, what I want to add to Jess, and she's a young woman, so I think she's like 20-something.
22.
22. Mm-hmm. So she was even talking about becoming the president. Her goal is to one day. So, you know, with Kamala there, hopefully this is a path she would take. But I also want to say something I think is important, and I'm glad you brought it up. This is Teen Dating Violence Month. And you know how you just got through talking about domestic violence?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our teens are being abused in our community. And so this is Teen Dating Violence Month. This week is called Respect Week, where we're going to be on Instagram with different messages to teenagers about hitting, beating each other up, disrespecting each other. It's not okay, even as a teen. And today is even where orange to recognize that we know our teens are in crisis because they are being abused. So the whole week is dedicated to that. They can go on our website and get more information. But it came to mind when I thought about this young woman and how proud she is to stand. Because a lot of this also has to do with our self-esteem, our values, the way we were raised, and being able to reach out and ask for help if there's help available. So I think she would be a wonderful role model for the young women and young men in the territory. So she should be the on the poster for Teen Dating Violence Month, that you don't have to take this. Look at me. I'm an example of, if you put everything together, where you can come. So that's how I tie the two in, Neville.
Of course. And Carolyn Forno, let's do the math here. She'll be 23 in March. I think it is. I think that's her birthday. Let me see. March 7th. She'll make 23 years old on March 7th. She published a book, a poetry book, in 2015, which was 6 years ago. Which means that at 17, she was already in the publishing business. Mm-hmm. Isn't that impressive, Ms. Forno?
Yeah, it's amazing. And it just, I mean, going back to your point of education, I mean, I think all students need to realize their potential, but they can't do that if they don't know how to read, and they can't, and that literacy is not there, mm-hmm. and they're not being taught their history, and they're not being taught their self-worth, and they're in violent households that continue to put them down and oppress them. So, I mean, it's super impressive for a 17-year-old to have been able to do that. And she, again, like all of us, I think we were all in awe of her, listening to her, so proud, and giving us hope for the future. But as adults, we need to do our part to support these young people. And we also have to make sure that all the forces, you know, we're talking about racism today, but, you know, racism, sexism, oppression, are things that we need to recognize, and we need to stop in its tracks, and we need to address it. And we need to come to some sort of understanding of our histories and be realistic about that so that we can move forward.
Most definitely. Ms. Benjamin, this young lady, she already got a website. TheAmandaGorman.com www.TheAmandaGorman.com And I know you're there in communications. So she really is a beacon from the standpoint that you don't have to be a certain age to be good and to make your imprint. If whenever you're ready, you can make your mark at that particular point, Ms. Benjamin.
Absolutely. I mean, she is the Youth Poet Laureate for the United States. She's a Harvard graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things, I think, stem from the ability to dream, to be able to imagine yourself as your best self, right?
Mm-hmm.
And education is a key component in being able to dream as your best self. You know, and I feel as though the divide between those who are able to afford to get a good education and those who cannot is vast and needs to be disintegrated. You know, every child, regardless of gender, regardless of economic situation, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of location, deserves a good education.
That's right. That's right. And with that song, education, and literacy levels, understanding how to pronounce, enunciate, all that good stuff, you can only better yourself. Which brings me to Lisa Moorhead. Lisa, you realize that this young lady, she got three agents, you know? She got a fashion and beauty agent with IMG Models. She has a literary agent with Writer's House. And she got a legal agent, Gantaya, Rayma Brown, and Passman. She's so big already at 23. She is the young black female American dream.
And she's humble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all of the above. And what I love about her is while she recognizes her talent and her self-worth and putting it out there and, you know, I hate to use this word, but capitalizing on it to move herself forward, she also realizes that politics is very important.
Mm.
And, you know, when we talk about education and literacy in the Virgin Islands, I've been on the Board of Elections for however many years now. I think this is my 13th year. And the number of our constituents, our citizens, that cannot understand the voting process because they cannot read and have to bring people in to assist them and tell them who to vote for makes it very clear that we do not have the ability to stand up for our rights.
That's right.
Without education, we can't do that. And, you know, she understands that policies need to change, which is why she's projecting, and however many years she said, I want to be president, and here I am reciting for one. Was part of her poem, because she's already projecting and planning because she is educated. You know, she went to the what some people think is the ultimate school, Harvard, as, you know, and there are very few still black people at Harvard. So she had to be secure in herself in that environment, and she had to recognize that her goal every day was to get through this educational institution to pursue her dreams. And with that kind of fortitude, that kind of forward thinking, you know, our students would, and we have many, many, many bright students here, but we have many bright students who have parents who can't read. You know, we need to do something about adult literacy. And we have students, I hear horror stories from my daughter who's teaching virtually about parents who don't have any equipment in the houses for their children to take advantage of virtual learning. 10 children and not one device, and a mother who is illiterate. So how on earth, you know, that's another generation, and, you know, it could be 10 more families if all of these children procreate that this goes on. And how do we get beyond that? It's policy change, it's politics, it's education, it's awareness, it's love of self and love of community.
Without a doubt, and we're just proud that there are examples that our young children can look up to. And Amanda Gorman, at this particular point, this window, because nobody, your window, is it doesn't last forever. When your window, when the iron is hot, you strike it. Right now, the iron is hot with Amanda Gorman, and we need her to be the inspiration for our young people. So we're going to wrap up this discussion. Clement, where do we want to take this a year from now? Let's be futuristic here. We've had these forums. We're gonna have the fourth one on Thursday. What do we want to be saying, February 2022?
Okay, a year from now, I've hoped that we've hit the schools, the businesses, the churches. We're educating them. Different community nonprofits like us are leading the path with us. Continuing education. We're sitting down with the lawmakers, looking at some laws that we want to put in place. That's how I see the future, that we moving forward with hitting the community ground running, but not just the Women's Coalition, the community partnering with us to keep this conversation going. But not just a conversation, Neville, but actually
action.
Changes in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, we need action. It just can't be talk. We need some action.
We can't be talking. We like action here. We ain't no talkers.
I know that. I know that. Miss Benjamin, you're the communications conduit, the nexus. You're joining everybody together. The importance of the Women's Coalition on St. Croix and the Men's Coalition as well. So I got to look over the Men's Coalition. Since it's Iowa, I go stand up for the Men's Coalition too, because the situation is not one-sided, totally one-sided. How do we go about getting people to stop before they do something that they're going to regret?
Well, as you were speaking, Plummer was looking at me like, make sure you let him know that the Men's Coalition was started by the Women's
Coalition. I know about it. Abdullah tell me all the time. So, Clemmer, you don't have to worry about that. Abdullah let me know all the time how important the Women's Coalition, the foundation for the Men's Coalition and St. Croix is the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. Is you good now, Clemmer? I've made that publicly clear that without woman, man ain't about nothing as it relates to coalition here in St. Croix. You feel better now? That's the raw crucian. I just lay it out in there.
Yeah, I feel okay? Better. Thank you.
You got it. But back to the question, Ms. Benjamin. We need to stop hearing about these domestic dispute situations on a regular basis. We need to get it to zero.
That is the goal. That is the intent. And that is why we act as we do, to bring it to zero. And it is possible. It is possible, but it's going to take work, and it's going to take education. It's going to take people actually being truthful and honest with not only with themselves, but with their families and the community about how important communication and healthy relationships are. This is the 40th year of the Women's Coalition being a force for change and good in the community. Next month is actually the month of the birth of the organization. And we've been able to do the things that we continue to do because of community, because, you know, we are a community, we are in the community, we are of the community, and we push for positive change in the community. But that has to happen with the community.
That's right. That's right. It can't be a one-way street. Ms. Forno, 49 years, right? I think 1972 was when the coalition was created. 81. Okay, so 40 years then.
40 years.
Awesome. That's two generations. Lisa, we're talking in generational context a little while ago. That's two generations.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, going back to our work with racism and our work in domestic violence, it's mm-hmm. about dismantling systems of oppression mm-hmm. and systems of power and control. So the power and control that we see in domestic violence situations, that's what domestic violence is about. It's about exerting power and control mm-hmm. over somebody else.
That's right.
It's the same sort of power and control that we see in racism and in oppression. And so there's a connection. This is mm-hmm. an obvious connection in our work, and mm-hmm. we can't do one without the other. Mm-hmm. We can't say that, you know, domestic violence is bad, but racism is okay, and we don't have to address that. That's why we have to address all these systems that oppress mm-hmm. and that exert power and control over other people. It's all connected. And like Debbie said, and Clemma said, and Lisa said, it takes our whole community to do something about this.
You were in line. You hit it on the head. Lisa Harris-Moorhead put a bow on this discussion because we've talked about and I think I'd like to hit Clem. I want you to say it. Race is a myth. Class is real. That was one of the second forum, I believe, and that encompasses everything because that's what we're dealing with now.
No, that's correct. But again, part of the whole situation, as everyone has hit on, is what these conversations have brought out is how we have to be real about the things that confront our society, whatever level of oppression it is, and we have to recognize many of these things as coming out of racism, which is a mental illness. You know, and as long as somebody feels it's okay to oppress someone else, or somebody internalizes the, you know, negative concepts of racism, they're suffering from a mental illness. And, you know, that may sound extreme, but after you suffer so much trauma over and over again, and there have been studies as recent as the last few years of how, you know, the constant stateside, the constant slaying of black men has affected people that are seeing this mm-hmm. This just repeat itself. So, you know, that's we have to look at all of these components. We have to look at the literacy, which has to deal with education. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with the mental health aspect of it, and we have to deal with the poverty end of it.
That's right. That's right. Ladies, thank you very much. Awesome discussion once again. Ms. Benjamin, real quick, time and location via Zoom Thursday.
Thursday, February 11th at 6 p.m. Go to WCSTX.org to register.
Awesome. Carolyn Forno, Clemma Lewis, Lisa Harris-Moorhead, Deborah Benjamin, nothing but love from Analyze This to the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. Okay?
Thank you.
You got it. Awesome. And I, you know, this discussion is always real, and I appreciate the Women's Coalition. Don't forget to go Wear Orange, okay? This is a Wear Orange day and week. Let me make sure I read this correctly based on what Zoe sent here to me. Yeah, Wear Orange Day your orange attire to show support for the Women's Coalition of St. Croix against Dating Violence Awareness Month. Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Great show, engineers. I was fortunate to have both of them today. Great discussion we had early on today with Louis Henry and the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. Thank you, Muchi Shang, for that information. Set me up for a good show today as well. Man and Tanya Singh, good looking out. We'll be back tomorrow. Another great show coming up. Until then, be good and be safe. Bye-bye.
Views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.